Welcome to PJEFC's Pulpit Ministry, a ministry that is committed to the preaching of the Word to transform lives.
Good morning, my friends. How are you all doing? I wish you a happy Chinese New Year, an auspicious year. Today's message is about Jesus being tempted. It is entitled, The Tempted Son. And you know what? During this Chinese New Year, I am tempted to just eat, 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 and eat. Temptations are everywhere. There are pineapple tarts, peanut cookies, peanut candies, and my favorite is bak kwa. You know, once I start eating bak kwa, I cannot stop. It is so sweet, tender, and umami. But it is also very high in calorie. And to burn them off, I need to do hours upon hours of cardio. What about you? Tell us which Chinese New Year food. Huh, this is not working. Interesting. All right. Now it's working. Thanks, AV team. What about you? Tell us which Chinese New Year food is the most tempting to you. And you can share it with us in the chat window. And now, speaking about temptations, I would venture out and say this. Everybody here struggles with some kind of temptations, with some kind of addictions in our life. There is something in your life that is consistently there, and you know that it should not be there. I do not know what is that thing for you, but let's just call it as what it is. Alcohol. For some people, it is a big problem. If you are just having one or two drinks once in a few months, that is fine, but some of you are having it every day. Substance abuse. You could be smoking something that you should not be smoking, shooting up something in your vein that you should not be shooting up, or you might be popping some pills. For some of you, you just lie. Sometimes for no reason at all. So you lie and then you have to create another lie to cover up that lie, and before long you don't even know what is reality anymore because you cannot distinguish between them. And there are many, frankly, just cannot put the spoon down. They cannot put their fork down. There is an issue with eating. You just keep on eating, and it can be as simple as a sugar addiction. You just cannot put the fork down. Some are tempted to run their mouths or to lash out at others when angry, or perhaps you are a compulsive shopper. You overspend, and you are in a massive debt. And yet, for some reason, you need to get that extra, designer bag. And you just can't stop. For some, it is gambling. It is all fun and games in the beginning, and then you started to bet some money. You keep on gambling, and your bet is getting bigger and larger than last time, and before you know it, you lost all of it, and you need to borrow money from your friends and from Along and to try and gamble your way out. Some of you are spending so much time in playing computer games or watching Netflix, especially in this MCO time when we are just locked down at home. And as innocent as it may sound, some of you are addicted to your phone. You cannot even have a proper conversation with somebody without having this thing up in your face all the time. And sexual addiction. It is so common nowadays. It is just one click away. You are hooked to pornography. You want to quit, but you are powerless against it. You are being crushed and overwhelmed by your temptation all the time. So, I do not know what it is for you, but every one of us, we have something in our life that we know it should not be there at all. I have preached many sermons in my life, but I have a very strong divine burden for a message like this. And I want to share with you my own journey of how Jesus set me free from PMO. What is PMO, you may ask? PMO stands for porn, masturbation, and orgasm, in that order, PMO in short. I was exposed to pornography as young as standard four. It was one night when my parents were away. My elder brother invited some friends over to have, to watch porn together. Yeah, this was a thing back in the days because pornography material was scarce. And among a few friends, you have to share that one VHS tape, all right? It's not like nowadays, you can access porn from your phone. So I was supposed to be sleeping upstairs, but I secretly came down and I hid around the staircase, and I was very curious what my elder brother and his friends were watching. You know, I did not really understand what I was looking at, but I felt a strange sense of excitement. And I remember that after the incident, I would wait until when no one is at home, I would pretend that I'm not feeling well. Mom, you guys just go ahead, you know, I want to rest at home. Just tapao for me. So I wouldn't go out, and when my family is out, I would be on a treasure hunt, hunting for those hidden tapes from my dad and from my brother so that I could watch it. This addiction becomes worse during my teenage years. I would go over to my friend's house and we would have watch party, pornography watch party. And we would masturbate together. Can you imagine that? And the normal kind of porn cannot satisfy us anymore. And in my family, we never actually talk about this issue. Even though my parents, they knew about it, one time my mom walked into my room while I was doing it, and she just like, I paused the video, she collected the laundry, and then afterwards, she left, closed the door, and I continued on. It is a bondage that runs in my family, from my dad to my brother to me. You know, I got to the point where it becomes so serious that I had to do it every single day in my upper secondary and college days. And I justify that by saying, everyone around me was doing it as well. It is only after I became Christian, I made a promise to God that I would quit porn and masturbation, that I would quit PMO. And I would go on to disappoint God over and over again. At least that is how I felt. And so today, I want to share with you my journey, my struggle, what have been helpful to me, and I'm praying that today's message will speak to you and put you on a journey of recovery from breaking free from whatever addictions and bondage that have been holding you and imprisoning you. And so I want to let the Word of God speak to you as well. And so let us just turn to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 to 11. So if you have a physical Bible, you can turn to it. If you are on your phone, you can go to your Bible app. All right? Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 to 11. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." And then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All this I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. This is the word of the Lord. Now let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just pray that as we listen to your word preached this morning, God, I ask that your Holy Spirit will come and work in our hearts, Lord. And we know that you are not done working with us yet. So God, I just want to pray that the church, that our hearts would be open for you, Lord, to examine, Lord, to work. And God, I pray that your living word will be able to transform us to become more like Jesus. So Lord, help us to be attentive and to absorb all the nourishment from your word which you have prepared for us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So in the previous chapter 3, we know that Jesus, he was baptized, affirm anointed by the Father in preparation for his journey ahead. And now in chapter 4, Jesus is being led into the wilderness for testing. This is the final event that prepares Jesus for the journey ahead. And it is interesting because in the ancient world, all sons of the king, they had to be tested and they have to prove their rights to the throne. Think of it like a training ground, a proving ground for warriors. The Greek word for testing is dokimazo. Everyone says dokimazo. Dokimazo means to put to the test, to prove, to examine, and by implication, to approve. So why does God test us? God tests us because our faith is precious to him. Say to those around you, your faith is precious to God. The Bible says that your faith is like gold that is tested in the fire, and these trials will prove that your faith is much more precious than gold that can be destroyed. The purpose, what is it for? It is to strengthen your faith. It is a training ground for all of us. We are all warriors in Christ, and passing the test will lead to your promotion. It is like beating that video game boss at the end of the stage so you can move on to a higher level. And the good news is that God is not a sadistic game master that makes exceptionally difficult tests trying to fail you. He loves you and he wants you to succeed. And when he tests us, he wants to see if our faith in him is real. So friends, if we fall short, know that Jesus takes pleasure in teaching us so that we can pass the next time. This is simply the process of God pruning our branches so that we can be more fruitful. Or another illustration is the potter shaping the clay so that we will become more and more like Jesus. God is moving us to the right. And so if testing is for your promotion, then what about temptation? Temptation is designed for your demotion. And I want to give you a definition for temptation. Temptation is anything that promises satisfaction at the cost of obedience. It comes from an ungodly source and is designed to cause you to fall away in your relationship with God. In short, when you give in to temptations, you are being moved to the left. So I want you to understand the main difference between testing and temptation. Testing is from God, it leads to your promotion. Temptation, on the other hand, is not from God and leads to your demotion. And in today's narrative, there are four characteristics of Jesus' temptation. Four characteristics that I want to go through with you today, and I hope that this will set you on the foundation to live victoriously for Christ, to be able to set free and to overcome your addictions. So what is it? Firstly, God does not tempt, he tests you. Firstly, God does not tempt, he tests you. In verse 1, we read of a subtle yet important distinction. Verse 1, Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit, that is the first by, into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, that is the second by. Who was doing the leading? The Holy Spirit was doing the leading. So it tells us that testing is God ordained. However, who was doing the tempting? It was Satan. Satan was the one doing the tempting because God will never tempt you. So the next question is this. Is it possible for you to be tempted in the testing of God? Yes, it is. Temptation is ordained by God, but it's not inflicted by God. It is ordained by God, but not inflicted by God. James chapter 1, verse 13. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself tempts no one. Many of us, we often like to pray, Holy Spirit, come and lead us. But how many of you are ready to be led into the training ground to go through the trials so that you can level up? The spiritual lesson is this. If you want to follow Jesus, Know that the road to heaven is not always paved with gold, lined with daisies. If you are his follower, you can expect the same. Baptism into Christ does not mean worldly success, wealth and health, and a shallow happiness. Baptism into Christ means self-denial, sufferings, trials and temptations, and a deeper and a more lasting joy. Is it easy? Of course it is not easy. But is it worth it? Yes, it is worth it. And Jesus, our forerunner, has gone before us and shown us that we can overcome. I always believe that at certain point in my life, God would just totally remove my sinful desire to PMO. And that I would be able to live pure and holy for Jesus, to serve and glorify Him. You know, I was praying in my college days, after I became a Christian, I was praying that God would just take away my sinful desire. And finally, when I say yes to Jesus to enter into full-time ministry, God removed all the wrong desires in me and I no longer have any struggles with PMO. Except that this did not happen at all. What I have just said is a big fat lie, because I continue to struggle with temptation. Pornography continued to grip me. I continue to have relapses now and then for the years to come. And so I thought, maybe after my marriage, you know, I have a wife and I would no longer have to struggle with it. But that is not true at all. And I thought that eventually I will grow out of this, you know. I grow older, I mellow down, I no longer have raging hormone deep within me. But in my conversation with some of the most godly leaders in the church, these are seniors, some say that until today, this temptation is still very real for them. And that is why we must keep on guarding our hearts, keep on guarding our eyes from tempting situations, and we must fight for purity. On the road toward holiness, we may encounter many defeats, but we will not be defeated. You will see us struggle, but you will never see us call it quit. We are all fighters. And by God's grace, we will pass the test and come out stronger and purer. That's number one. God does not tempt, but He tests you. Secondly, you are most tempted at your weakest moment. Look at verse 2 and 3. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus was hungry and the tempter came. Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. He was alone. He was hungry. He was physically weak. All three of these things are big triggers for people who are struggling with addiction. When you are alone and when you are physically weak and when you are tired. Jesus was the perfect victim for a hungry lion, and yet how strong he was. Okay, think now about Peter, who is the leader of the apostles. When his flesh was weak, what did he do? He gave into temptation. He slept when Jesus most needed him to pray, and he lied when Jesus most needed his support. Or think about the Israelites in the wilderness. If they miss a meal, boy, would they grumble, and you would think that they come from a very posh neighborhood. If they get a little bit thirsty, they would start to complain and blackmail God. We are getting rid of Moses and you, and we are going back to Egypt. And think about Adam and Eve. They were in paradise. They were content and satisfied physically. And they were in God's presence consistently. Yet, they succumbed to Satan's wiles. And as a result, they carried the entire human race into sin, misery, and destruction. Our Savior, our Lord Jesus, however, He stood firm and He brought life and salvation to humanity. What Adam did not do, Jesus did. What Israel could not accomplish, Jesus accomplished. And in so doing, Jesus left for us an example of sober-mindedness, watchfulness, and firmness in faith. We should be prepared to fight all the time, especially when we are most weak. And to fight well, you need to understand the formula of temptation. It is a simple formula. And it goes like this. Desire plus circumstances equals to temptation. Think about fishing. right? The fish is hungry, inner desire. It is thinking of eating something, and suddenly there is a fat and juicy worm dangling in front of it. So what happens? The fish bites the bait, and it is hooked, and the next thing you know, it becomes chairman's dinner. So Apostle James explained it like this. Apostle James says that each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then after the desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Satan is not a kidnapper who drags you into his van, kicking and screaming, taking where you don't want to go. You climb into the van yourself, all right? So don't blame Satan for everything. The real problem is not the tempter without, it's not Satan that is tempting you. The real problem is the traitor within, the imposter within us. And once you understand this simple formula, you can start working on it. You can work on two things. Number one, you can work on reorienting your desire. And number two, you can work on the surrounding circumstances. Let's talk about your surrounding first, because it is the easier one to deal with. You need to, what I call, sanitize your environment. If you have a sugar addiction, what should you do? Get rid of all the junk food and candies in your cabinet. If you are trying to stay free from alcohol, what should you do? You need to get rid of all the alcohol from your house. You need to sanitize your environment from all the triggers. You know, you might think that by your sheer will of power, you can brute force and resist the temptation. But your willpower is like muscle. After you use it too much, you will get tired out eventually, especially when you are constantly being bombarded by all of these temptations in your environment. I know my own weakness. I know my own struggles against PMO. I know that even if I catch a little glimpse, just a peek, I will have a mammoth-sized urge to PMO. So why would I want to put myself in that kind of stupid situation? Why do I want to deal with the temptation tomorrow when I know that today I can get rid of them? If you are like me, struggling against PMO, first thing first, you must sanitize all of your digital devices, including your laptop and your phone. You know, delete that so-called homework folder in your laptop that is 10 gigabytes in size. You know what I mean? Unfollow models and celebrities on Instagram and TikTok. Consider uninstalling all of these social media apps. Get a web filter or a blocker and ask your partner to set up the password so you cannot unblock it. Be a part of an accountability program. For example, Covenant Eyes. Most of these programs have free trial, so there's no reason for not giving it a trial. These are the common tools of the trade, bread and butter tactics that we use. Because when porn is just a click away, its looming presence can cause so much inner conflict in you, which will eventually lead you to a relapse. So you want to be able to preempt and kill off as many enemies as possible even before the battle begins. And you want to turn your digital devices into your greatest ally by setting up filters, set reminder for prayer and meditation, and etc. And now, the most classic example is this. It is an awkward one, but it was very helpful for me in my early days of trying to stay victorious. So what I used to do in college days is that I would have a picture of Jesus in the bathroom. You know, it is very awkward, especially because I have housemates and I have to explain to them what I'm trying to do. You know, whenever I walk into the bathroom, Jesus is looking at me and I'm looking at Jesus. And it is a powerful reminder to me that, you know, God sees what I'm about to do. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Jeremy, God is here. He sees you. Are you sure that you want to do this? And then I would reflect on the love of Christ for me, and then I would think about the pain that I am going to inflict on Christ because I am taking my salvation for granted, and I am going to nail him on the cross all over again. And on my phone, my wallpaper is a picture of me and Aiting, because it serves as a constant reminder that I have somebody to protect, I have a battle to fight, and I have a war to win every day. And it is the same for you. You have someone that you need to protect. You have a battle to fight, and you must win the war. The second thing that you can do is to reorient your inner desire. This is the harder one, but this is where real transformation takes place. You must grow to love Jesus so much, to value Jesus so much, that you develop a distaste for sin. You know, sometimes I think of Pastor Yu Yong. Why? He will eat just about anything but shrimp. Let me explain this. Pastor Yu Yong calls them sea cockroaches, and he detests them. Good friends like me would try to convince him, you should try them deep fried in garlic butter. It tastes so good. But it is useless. Pastor Yu Yong is beyond temptation in the shrimp department because he has zero desire for them. In the same way, if you can reorient your desire to want more of Jesus in your life, sin will start to lose its power and it no longer excites you like it used to. When you look at sin, imagine it is like Pastor Yu Yong looking at shrimp or prawns. They are sea cockroaches. As much as we try to sanitize our environment, it is impossible to kill all of them. The best that we can get is 99.9%, all right? Sometimes I feel like we are living in a digital Skinner box. Have you heard of the Skinner box before? So this is a Skinner box. So this is a Skinner box. Skinner and his colleagues, they were psychologists, and they would put pigeons and rats in the Skinner box, and they would feed them rewards, and in doing so, study them and manipulate them. And it was amazing what kind of pattern they could induce in these animals. And this is why I would say that today we are living in a digital Skinner box. We are constantly being fed temptations, and then we are being fed rewards, and we are being influenced. Every step we take, every click that we make, they are watching us, trying to get us to be addicted to whatever it is. The digital world is carpet bomb with temptations. You know, even with my filter and my blocker up, when I was doing research for this sermon, I searched for the word temptation. And some of these pictures, they just appear, and I had to take a break, like Joseph running out of the bedroom from Potiphar's wife. If you are tired, if you are, you know, if you keep getting crushed by temptation, and you seriously want to be an overcomer, work on reorienting your desire for God. That is why I take a walk with Jesus every night, and I walk at the leisure pace, 15 minutes per kilometer, and I imagine that Jesus is really walking beside me. And then I would just talk out loud with him. My neighbors may think that I'm crazy, but I'm not. I'm just praying. When the lockdown happened last year, I looked at myself and I was disgusted at how lazy I became spiritually. And so I started this spiritual exercise regime. And this is one of the best things that has happened to me. People ask, why don't I jog? Simple reason, because I cannot focus in my conversation if I start to jog. I will be huffing and puffing. So my GPS tracker on my phone shows that each month I walk about 60 to 70 kilometers with Jesus, which converts to more than 1,000 minutes of conversation with God every month. And you know what? I came out of 2020 more like Christ than ever. As you grow in your desire for Christ, your wrongful desire will diminish and you will find it easier to overcome temptation. After all, self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. When you abide in Christ, God will give you that self-control and will give you that strength to be able to resist. How about you? I want to challenge you to start one spiritual habit that can help you to grow closer to God every day. And do it consistently. So what would that one spiritual exercise be? I promise you, I really do, if you work on reorienting your inner desire, and you do your best to sanitize your environment to reduce the triggers, you will find success in overcoming your addictions. It won't be easy, but I have done it. Thousands of other people in the recovery community have done it, and you can do it as well. Thirdly, this is my third point, you are never above temptation. Satan will tempt you when you are weak, and also when you think you are strong. When you think that you are above temptation, you become overconfident. Watch out and don't fall. Let's talk about Jesus' temptation for a while. Jesus' temptation was unique, yet it is universal. It was unique, yet it is universal. Why is it unique? It is unique because most people are not tempted where he was, in the wilderness. When he was, after 40 days of fasting, or by whom he was tempted, a clear manifestation of the devil. So the where, when, and by whom Jesus was tempted, as well as the method of his temptation, was unique. Yet, this temptation is universal to all. What is temptation, once again? Temptation is essentially anything that promises satisfaction at the cost of obedience. In Jesus' case, the temptation is for Jesus to grab the crown without first enduring the cross. The Father has promised that Jesus will be king, but that is only after the road to Calvary, after his resurrection, in Matthew 28, verse 18, when he will finally say, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." The tempter tempts Jesus to take the shortcut to glory, bypassing Gethsemane and Golgotha, to grab the crown without first going through the path of the cross. What about us? Are we not all tempted to grab the crown without the cross, especially for us Asians, you know? We all like prosperity. We all like successes, quick successes, you know, 5 steps to having a successful year, this type of shortcuts. And in these New Year greetings, you will see, you know, there are so many puns. Auspicious year, excellent year, and the latest one that I have seen, may the Lord prosper you, all right? And I really think that if Matthew 4:19 is not said by Satan, this would be our favorite verse. Bow before me, and I will give you all things. This will take the place instead of the Jeremiah one. I have a plan to prosper you. We love this verse. What is temptation? Temptation is to do the thing that gives us instant gratification of pleasure rather than doing the thing that builds our character and our relationship with others and God. None of us are above temptation. We are all tempted to grab the crown without the cross. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 says this, "If you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. Satan tempts us in our moments of weakness and also in our moments of overconfidence. Sometimes we think that pastors and elders, these are spiritual giants, they are above temptations, but that is certainly not true." In 2016, the Barna Group, they did a survey among the churchgoers and pastors in America. And here are some of the statistics. 1 in 5 youth pastors and 1 in 7 senior pastors use porn on a regular basis and is currently struggling. 43% of pastors says that they have struggled with it in the past, and I'm also in that category. 64% of Christian men and 15% of women say they watch porn at least once a month. You don't have to look very far to find that somebody is struggling with PMO in the church. That person could be sitting next to you. And don't ever think that porn is just a personal choice. It's not affecting anyone but me. It is actually ruining lives and families. Because the survey also shows that 68% of divorce cases involve in one party meeting a new lover over the internet, out of which 56% involve one party having an obsessive interest in porn And as many as 70% of wives of these sex addicts could be diagnosed with PTSD. The sad thing is that when I was in seminary, almost every guy that I am close to will tell me that they struggle with PMO and they watch regularly. And I'm not even kidding. But the saddest part is that I see in their eyes that some of them, they are just utterly defeated. They have resigned to the devil's lie that I will never be free from this. And you might have heard about the latest report by Azim. You know, the ministry has finally released the details of the abuse and sexual misconducts and even rape of the different victims by the late evangelist Ravi Zacharias. He is someone that I have been looking up to since young. I respected him a lot. And when I first read the news about it, I did not believe it. How could it be true? You know, he is such a great and powerful man of God. And during his memorial service, people who knew him used words like, "This is a man of integrity, the paragon of moral uprightness. He is righteous," to describe him. So I thought that, you know, it must be the work of the devil to try to defame him. It's not true at all. But after some time of fact-checking, I have to come to accept the truth. And it is heartbreaking to read about the interviews with this woman. And at the same time, it is also a sober reminder and lesson to all of us that we are just as vulnerable to temptation as these so-called Christian celebrities and the great men of God. Friends, you are never, ever above temptation. No matter how strong you think you are, always be watchful and remain vigilant. And number four, this is the fourth spiritual truth from Jesus' temptation. There is always a way out. I know that temptation can be hard to withstand, but they are also temporary. It is hard, but they are temporary. This is taught in verse 10 and 11. After the final temptation, Jesus says to him, "Be gone, Satan, for it is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.' And then the devil left him, and behold, the angels came and were ministering to him." Temptation is tough, but it is temporary, and there is always a way out. Submit yourself to God, and if you can resist the devil, he will flee from you, according to James chapter 4, verse 7. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, It is clear that there is no temptation that is not common to everyone. So don't think that whatever you are going through, whatever that it could be, no one else is struggling with it. Don't think that you are the only one in this whole wide world that is struggling with it. No temptation has overtaken you except for what is common to mankind. And God is what? God is faithful. Say to the person next to you, God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. When I think of a way out, I think of Star Wars. I'm not a really big fan of Star Wars, but I watch it as a young boy because I like the ships and I like to see them, you know, fighting in space. I'm from Chinese school. I watch TVB, all right? The only reason is so I like Star Wars because I like to look at the ships and see them fighting. And then whenever one side is losing, what happens is that the losing side, I always remember this, they will try to jump into hyperspace to escape the pursuit, right? So the rebel, they are pinned down by the Imperial force. And what do? They are losing. You know, their ships have taken hit. What do? They try to escape by jumping into the hyperspace. And one of the iconic lines goes something like this. This is the iconic line. It goes like this. "Punch it, Chewie. Hit the button. Hit that hyperdrive button," you know? When Han Solo yells to Chewbacca to punch that hyperdrive button so that they could jump into hyperspace to escape the Imperials. So, what should you do when you cannot stand the heat of temptation? I think some of you know where I am going at. when the temptation is too strong, I need you to punch it, all right? And jump into the hyper grace of Jesus, right? So say to your friend, punch it, all right? You are getting tempted and you are taking hits and you are losing power. What do? You punch the button and you jump into hyperspace. If it is not working the first time, you punch it the second time. And the third time, you punch your boyfriend, all right? Ask him to knock it off. Punch the button, tap into the Holy Spirit, and jump into the hyper grace of God. Because every temptation is an invitation to you to depend on Jesus. Let me say that again. Every temptation is an invitation from God for you to depend on Jesus. Our weakness is made perfect in Christ's strength. When you are tempted, remember that God is always faithful. He will provide a way out so that you can endure it. You just have to stop trying and start trusting in the Word of God. If God says that there is a way out, you better believe that there is a way out. If the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. God is not done working in your life yet. So don't ever give up in your pursuit of holiness. Last year's lockdown has been a really difficult time for me. The saying that an idle mind is devil's workshop is especially true for me, because boredom has always been a big, big trigger for me. When you are locked down at home, you are alone, and you are trying to look for a little bit of excitement, where do you go? You go into the digital world to look for artificial stimulation. And it was not porn in the beginning. I was just starting to consume more and more digital junk food, like scrolling Reddit, watching YouTube, Netflix shows. I was becoming less and less disciplined in my spiritual exercise. And I was becoming like this. I was becoming a digital cookie monster, you know, keep on consuming digital junk food. When I'm supposed to be sleeping at night, I'm on my bed, playing with my phone, scrolling social media. And after weeks and weeks of being like this, guess what happened? I had a relapse. And what I have learned from this experience of relapse is that relapse don't just happen out of nowhere, suddenly. You gradually slide into it. And once I did it, it was the worst feeling ever. Not because I have to reset my calendar and back to day zero after a long streak of victory, but the guilt and the shame that comes with it. And I know the feeling that some of you are going through. You see, Satan is both a tempter and accuser. Before you sin, he is a tempter. He will sweet-talk you and tell you how good it is. Just try it one time. It will help you to relax, help you to fall asleep. And you know what? God is gracious and he will forgive you. And after you do that thing, he becomes the worst accuser. He is going to tell you, look at you, what a loser. You should be ashamed of yourself. Jeremy, you are not a man. You are disgusting. And you call yourself a pastor. What a joke. This is the cycle of doom, the cycle of porn, pleasure, and pain. And while you are dying in your shame and in your guilt, Satan is going to come again as a tempter. And he will try to offer you something to make you feel a little bit better, to medicate the pain. And he will say, here, take this. You will feel better again. And you will just eat it up. And this is how so many people are caught in this, what I call the cycle of doom. However, this one relapse reels me back to reality. I know that I need to change my lifestyle. And the good news is that God is faithful, and my weakness is made perfect in Christ's strength. And there is always a way out. I was able to break out of the cycle by the power of Christ. And you can break that cycle of addiction as well, because the Holy Spirit dwells in you also. Every time you are tempted, God is inviting you to trust in Jesus, who will set you free. Friends, there is a way out. The way is through trusting in Jesus. Jesus was the tempted Son of God. He was tempted in every way, but he did not sin. In order to show us that we have a Savior who is able to help us when we are being tempted in accordance to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18. So let us pray today. Father, I pray that today your Holy Spirit will start to work in our hearts and our hearts will be open for you to do the work. We ask that you will reorient our desire, that we would want to have more of Jesus in our life, and Lord, that we would develop a distaste for sin. Help us to walk in the way of obedience. We belong to you and we give our lives to serve and worship you. And church, as we are praying today, there are some of you, you know, you have massive dark secrets hidden in your life. Not even your spouse knows about it. Not even your closest friends knows about it. You know, you have these dark secrets. Some of you have something that everybody knows, and people have been telling you that you need to change. Some of you have something that is not really big, it's small, and you might think that it's not a big deal, but it is really a sin. Some of you are just tired. You have resigned, and you just say, this is who I am. I am too old to change. Whatever it is, friends, our God has brought you here today to tell you that he loves you and that he is faithful and that he will always give you a way out. If there is something that you need help with, I want to invite you to come to Jesus and to trust in him, and that he will give you the strength to stand firm and to do the right thing, to do the thing that glorifies Christ. So if there is something that you need help with, I just want to ask that you come before God, real honest, and just lift up your hand to him and pray. God, we are going to be really honest with you, to be real with you. You know, we confess that we are sinful people, we are weak, and at times we have given ourselves to different kind of temptations and habitual sins. It might be resentment for you, it might be a complaining spirit for some. For some, it could be lustful thoughts or PMO. For some of you, it could be anger. For some of you, it could be alcohol or any kind of substance abuse. Lord, we say that we are sorry, God, and help us to change, Lord. Lord, we don't want any of these things in our lives anymore, because we know that they are not pleasing to you, and we know that they are destroying our own life and they are destroying our relationship with others. So God, we ask that you will come. We invite you to come and to restore us. Give us the strength, Lord, to be able to overcome whatever cycles, whatever bondages, whatever addiction that we are facing. And by faith, we believe that at this moment, some of you are going to be set free supernaturally. The chains are going to be broken. For others, it will be a gradual process like me. And there will be a season of victory and defeat for you. But I pray that you will keep running back to Jesus. And through every trial and temptation, you will become stronger and purer. For some of you today, you have been crushed over and over, and there is a deep sense of guilt. And I just want to let you know, I know that feeling as well. And I remember saying to God, I need Jesus, but I am so shameful to go to him. The Lord is near to you today. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted, to those who are crushed in spirit. God wants you to come back to him, just as you are. He loves you so much that he became a man in the form of a servant to die for your sins. And when you call on the name of Jesus, he will forgive you of all of your sins. And you will be made new in Christ. And so today, if you want to say yes to Jesus and receive him into your life, pray along together with me. Jesus, I invite you into my life right now to be my Lord and my Savior. Forgive me of my sins and make me new. Set me free from my addictions, and my life belongs to you starting today. I give it all to you. I surrender myself to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Friends, if you have made Jesus your Lord and Savior today, you know, click on that I am giving my life to Jesus today button that is appearing on the chat window, and reach out to us. We want to celebrate together with you and journey together with you. For the rest of the church, if you need support of any form, you need prayer, or you just need people to talk with you about what you are going through, we welcome you to approach any of the pastors. And now, let us rise to receive the benediction. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. Go in peace and serve the Lord and have a happy Chinese New Year. Keep safe, keep healthy, and I will see you again very soon, my friends.
You have been listening to a sermon from PJEFC. We hope that you have been blessed by the message. For more sermons, please go to www.pjefc.org/sermons.